League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Hey, it's Joel and Barry till 4, and doesn't get any better than this, gang. I told you that during basketball season, it is going to be phenomenal, because if you want real, unadulterated basketball talk, including for your favorite team right here in the Space City, you could look no further than ESPN 97.5. That's because I'm here. And because I'm here, I'm here, and I can bring in my extended family, it will be only the best for Barry and for all of you at home, and Nick. I say that because I have one of my good friends here, Mr. Clutch himself, the Junkyard Dog, Mario Elli. And Mario texted me this week and said, man, I want to come in. I want to do some radio with you. And I was like, absolutely. And we just picked a time and a place, and we figured it was no better than the open right after the first games of the NBA.
Perfect timing.
And get ready for Rockets opener.
Yeah.
So he came in. So, man, welcome to the show. Glad you're here. The door's always open. We call it the living room, and we know that you always got a seat in the living room.
Okay, I like that. The living room.
Welcome aboard. And what we do is if you participate and you play well with others, you can elevate from the floor to a beanbag chair to a couch. If you're not good, you can either be sent out in the backyard closer to the toilet or somewhere else, because we don't have to tolerate you.
Exactly. I like that.
So you watched some games last night.
No doubt. Every game. Love it.
You and I always talk about we're junkies. We watch the games on League Pass. But that Golden State game, to me, I expected them to struggle a little bit. I did not expect them to struggle to that degree in terms of what I saw from a cohesive offensive standpoint. Because I saw in preseason a team that got into transition. You don't need to call plays, as you know, when you're out in transition. Last night, they looked out of sorts because they were trying to play too much half-court basketball. But the other thing, you can speak from this perspective because you played for him. Greg Popovich is a mastermind. He's not going to tip his hand when it doesn't count. But when the game's on the line or when the lights get the brightest, he steps up and his team executed.
All I can tell you, Joe, I had the pleasure of playing for Coach Pop and coaching with Coach Pop. And his standards, he plays for the championship.
Mm-hmm.
And when he doesn't win that summer, you're talking about an angry, grouchy man the whole summer. That man wants to win. That's why he's such a great coach. And they didn't win last year. They won 67 games. And I knew he was going to come out open tonight, ready, fire to go. And he did an outstanding job, like you mentioned, Joe. But I was just getting a little upset early in the game when they were shooting too many jumpers. I'm like, Aldridge out there. Spurs are big. The whole front line, Kawhi, 6'8". Got 2 7-footers out there. Why are we shooting jump shots?
Gasol actually is a better fit than Duncan because Timmy was on the downside. Gasol's a nice ad.
Yeah, and people don't talk about that addition. That was a quiet, great pickup by the Spurs once again. And they did an outstanding job. And I thought, to me, it's always size. Size does matter in the league. And they pounded him on the boards, got extra possessions. Kawhi got to the line. He was fantastic, man, last night, getting to the line. Had them guys on their heels all night. And I'm with you, Joe. I expected them definitely to struggle. Of course, it's going to be a transition like LeBron and Wade and them. It was a transition for them also. But, man, by 30, I really didn't expect that. And the Spurs were just dominant. Guys off the bench. And that's another thing I can say about Pop. He fine guys. I mean, this guy Simmons, U of H, backyard kid.
Yeah.
Grinding like me, D-League, you know. And it's good to see. You know, like a LeBron block yesterday on Curry. That was a great play. Dunking
huge
on JaVale McGee. I mean, they were just clicking on all cylinders.
Now, do you think this was Popovich maybe sending a message that, hey, I know Golden State's getting off. Do you think he maybe prep for this game was a little more intense than it normally would be for an opener? Because it was like, we have a chance to send the league a message.
Yeah, and people, it kills me that they automatically is Golden State in Cleveland. There's a lot of other good teams out there that got a lot to say. So, and they're one of them. And that's how Pop like it. Let us fly under the radar. But, you know, at the end, we will be there. You know, and they got a hell of a squad. You know, Danny Green is out. That's a big loss, but they picked up the slack last night. And Lillard was fantastic last night. I had to mention that guy, man. Dame Dollars, he was cooking last night.
Man, you and I both, we spent times where we first met in Portland.
Yeah.
And I said, that's a legitimate MVP candidate right there.
No question.
The NBA hasn't seen opening night numbers like that since MJ. And I think it was, I want to say, in like either the late 90s. But, I mean, 39 and I think 8-6. He is the real deal. And they have a good young squad now. He's actually got some guys around him now. But he's a hell of a player. That's a team the Rockets have to watch. Before we get to the Rockets, though, I want to get to one other thing about the game last night. Kawhi, you mentioned Kawhi. Now, I want your honest opinion, because I said he's the perfect fit because of Pop's system. If you put Kawhi on another team that maybe didn't have the Danny Greens, didn't have the role players, didn't have the extra offense, you know, the skills, if you made him your guy, the go-to guy, I think he would struggle. I think the system is huge for Kawhi Leonard. I don't think he's like a go-to guy superstar, like by himself, like 1-4 flat isolations. But I think that because of that system, as much as anything else, too, it makes him even that much better.
I don't know. That guy is very talented. They went to him. I had the pleasure of getting back in the league last year and coaching, and we played the Spurs. And it was a very close game. We did a tremendous job at home. It was a tie game. And we knew in our scouting report, they're going to Kawhi. You know, they're going to Kawhi. And he zipped up. Simple play. Zipped him up. ISO, 2 dribble, bam. He knocked it down so cold-blooded, all net, won the game, man. That guy is a special talent. Second in NBA MVP voting last year, Defensive Player of the Year. I think he can do it wherever he goes. This guy is a special talent. Definitely the system helps and the players that are around him, but you got to start considering this guy one of the top five players in the league. This guy plays on both ends of the floor. He can post up. He gets to the line. He can shoot the three. I mean, this dude is a total package, and I like his demeanor. He doesn't say nothing. He doesn't get emotional.
It's fantastic.
He just busts your butt all night long.
But a lot like you when you play, right?
Yeah.
A whole lot of talking. Just get after it.
Mario may stay 2 more hours now because Barry's already fluffing him up. But I will say this. The one thing that makes him special in my mind is he came into the league like Gary Payton, like Jason Kidd. They didn't have a jump shot. But he's made himself not only a jump shooter, but a three-point shooter, and I give him a lot of credit for that.
Yeah, he's in the lab. He's down there in San Diego working on his game, and that's when you get better, Joe. You know, the good ones get better when nobody's watching. That's when you put in the work, when nobody's watching in the summertime. And he's been improving every year in the league. He's adding some to his game, and you can see the confidence is in his game, man. He was outstanding.
Now, you say that because, and it's a great transition to talk about the Rockets and James Harden, because before you got here, Joel and I were talking about Harden and how he seems to need some external motivation to make him want to be better. What is your assessment of the last couple of years with the James Harden and going into this year, what he's going to mean to the Rockets or what he's going to need to do to help this Rockets team?
Well, I mean, he wanted Dwight out. Now it's his team now.
Yeah.
He got
be
him
honest,
out.
Got what he wanted.
That's what I say. You got him out now. Now it's your team. He's in fantastic shape. He looks good. He had a great preseason. So he wanted to be the guy. Now he's the guy. And what happens this year with the Rockets definitely falls on his shoulders. You know, point guard position. I know D'Antoni's trying to run that offense, but it's going to be hard for him to sustain and play that point guard position for 82 games. These guys, the point guards in the league, you got Paul, you got Westbrook, you got Lillard, you know, you can go on and on. Lowry, I mean, we loaded with point guards. John Wall, I mean, Derrick Rose, I mean, Kyrie Irving, the list goes on and on. So it's going to be interesting how that develops with him at the point guard. I don't know if that's going to work. What you think, Joe, about
that? Here's my thing on all of it, and I want to get your assessment on what I said earlier too, but I think from the standpoint of the point guard position, I've called him an analytics superstar because he gets his numbers. But I've said that as a superstar, a true superstar, a Kobe-esque superstar, an MJ-type superstar, you have to make the players around you better. Not only do you have to make the players around you better, but every year you've got to get better yourself in some way, shape, or form. We haven't seen that. We've seen digressions, probably because he relaxed a little bit. Probably because, as Barry said, I said, he needs external motivation. When he played with USA Basketball for a summer, he came in and had an MVP season. Yeah. Then he started believing the hype, got into with the Kardashians, and came in 15 pounds fat and fell off. Now, because of Charles and Shaq and everybody getting on him, I fully expect he's going to have a great year, an MVP-type year. The question I have is, in another year from now, can he sustain it when there isn't that external motivation? When he's proved the critics wrong again, that's what I want to see out of James Harden.
Yeah, yeah, and that's what the great ones do. So it's going to be interesting. It starts with him this year. Like I mentioned earlier, he's in fantastic shape. So
right.
It starts tonight in L.A., and I expect him, like you said, Joe, have a great year. I think he's going to have a great year. And he's going to be, I think, top 10 in assists. I think he's a good playmaker. But I like him with the ball in the fourth quarter. I just don't like him doing all that ball handling the first two. We know in the fourth quarter, the ball is going to be in James Harden's hand. He's a closer. He gets to the line. He can create. He can pass. So it's going to be interesting to see this transition with him at the point.
You asked me, and that's why I say that. The thing that's going to be interesting is, can he sustain his levels of success in the fourth quarter when he's got so much more on his plate for the first three?
Exactly, exactly. And, you know, he said he's going to defend, so we're going to see if he's going to defend some of these better guards.
Talk is cheap, brother. Yeah. You got to be able to do it on the hardwood, that's for sure. Marioli's here with us for at least an hour. So if you want to join in the conversation, please do. You can reach us on Twitter. You can reach us at 713-780-ESPN. You can get that through a text message and or calls. We'll take some calls as well. And by the way, Lamont, he wants to know, Rio, if you are auditioning to get back into coaching or Late Night Love Line on Magic 102. So evidently,
like
he likes the Barry White pipes.
Yeah, everybody said I got the nice
all you
gotta
deep
do, voice.
Just give us the word love slowly.
Love.
There
love.
You go.
Coming back, we got to get him to say, show you right.
Show you right.
There you go.
Yeah.
You go.
All that and more. You're only getting it here. ESPN
97.5. ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joe Blank and Barry Laminack till 4 o'clock with my very special guest and our newest member of the living room, Mario Elie. Mario is here at least till 3 o'clock, and he'll be answering questions, and we will be rolling through a bevy of NBA topics and otherwise. If you've got something you want to ask, chime in. Chris Davis on Twitter, you want to know, the Rockets, we know Harden's going to have a strong year. Who in your mind is the X factor for them?
I'm wondering what we're going to get up front. Capella's going to be a good big question mark. I like his activity and, you know, rebounding, but can he score? We need double figures. We need like a double-double from him. We expect that's going to be a lot of threes going up, as we know, and we need him to either put him back in, kick offensive rebound, kick him out. So he needs to have a big year. You know, I'm looking Ryan Anderson also. He needs to stay healthy. He shot the ball well in the preseason. You know, if the Rockets going to be successful with that offense, he needs to continue to knock those down. Eric Gordon's health is also key. He can get Harden some rest because he can score the ball. You know, he's been having a pretty good preseason. So those four guys, I think, is key for the Rockets.
I said the biggest key is going to be the injury factor. You know, if you look at what Nene has played his last couple years.
That's right, I forgot about Nene.
You know, 25 missed games last year, 15 the year before, 29 the year before that. The last 5 years, he's averaged 25-plus missed games. Gordon's the same way. One playoff appearance, that's one thing. But all of missed games, misses a quarter of the season every year the last five. So I like the additions because they added what they didn't have offensively in shooters.
Yeah, they got shooting now.
I know you love the glorified Matt Bullard and Ryan Anderson. I know that Eric Gordon brings a lot to the table. If those knees, though, have always been an issue.
Yeah.
My big thing is, which I said surprised me, defensively, we knew that's what they were at their worst last year. Now, they started saying that they were better, but I had to see it. What I saw in the final two preseason games after China when they got their legs back, in transition on defense, they started to squeeze it starting at the half-court line, and they actually slowed down the other team's fast break, which they couldn't do last year. That's the first step, as you were an outstanding defender. That's the first step in being able to create an identity for yourself defensively.
Yeah, picking them up early. Let them know that you're here to play. You know, Gary Payton, all them great defensive guards were good at that. Derek Harper. Mm-hmm. They let you know they're here to play. And then, like you mentioned, Joe, the defense did get a little better in the preseason, picking up a little higher. And that's what they got to do. You know, Rockets going to be a good scoring team. They got to put a little pressure, depend on getting deflections, you know, getting transition points, threes, layups, which they like to do. So if they can put the pressure up a little bit, and they got the length, too, and athleticism.
How much pressure does that put on the Rockets in D'Antoni's system with the kind of offense that he runs? Because you're playing defense more. I mean, you're spending more time on the defensive end because of the way. I mean, what was it? 7 seconds was his average in Phoenix trying to get the ball up. Does that put more pressure on them to have to play defense?
A little bit. You know, I know D'Antoni's going to depend on his offense, and once they taking the ball out the net, you know, they go into the free throw line. That allows your defense to get set, so that they're going to look forward to doing that. They got to get buckets early in transition, have them, the opposing team, take the ball out, and they can establish their defense. So the offense is going to be big for them. They got to put points on the board. It's going to allow them to get set.
I said they're going to score 116. They just got to stop everybody from scoring 117. Yeah.
Where's the rebounding going to come from on this team? That's another the concern. Question.
Yeah. You know, Ryan Anderson got a board. You know, Ariza got to get in there hard. They're small. It's going to have to be a group effort. Who they got in the backup? Montaigne is not back, right?
No, he's not back. He's just sitting there.
Wow. Who's the backup center for them?
Nene and Montrezl Harrell.
See, them guys going to have to bowl. Wow.
Yeah.
They don't have a big squad.
No, and at the fours where, again, like I said, Anderson gives you a lot offensively, but he takes arguably your weakest position and makes it weaker because of the fact that defensively he can be a liability against bigger, low-post-type fours.
Yeah. Well, and so Decker's the backup there, too. So
who's that?
Decker.
Yeah, and Decker's a guy that, again, and I always say this, a 25-letter alphabet because he's got no J in it. He's got to prove he can make the NBA three.
Yeah, I haven't seen him in a couple of years, so this is going to be a big year for him.
Where do you see him? Over-under in Vegas is 43.5. They won 41 last year.
I see him. I give him. The West is tough.
Yeah.
And I'm with you. Injuries is a big factor.
Because they're not deep either.
Exactly.
They have a team that needs
all their pieces intact.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's going to happen. I can see maybe 39 to 40.
Woo. So you think they missed the playoffs?
They're going to be fighting, I think, for the bottom. Because I just think the West is tough.
So here's where I said that you could tell that I'm not drinking the red Kool-Aid anymore. I said that we need to stop with the #pursuit, and we need to start a t-shirt that says #pursuit of the 8 spot, because that's where I see them. I think you lose Dwight, you get Nene, but what you get, maybe you gain a little bit offensively, maybe. But, you know, I like Anderson. I like Gordon. But overall, based on, like you said, how good the rest of the West is, and God, Minnesota and Utah, to me, are on the come. They are phenomenal.
Yeah, I mean, them guys are on the rise.
Tibbs is going to take that young group and bring them together. Joe Johnson, we saw last night, solidifies a young Utah
Rodney
team.
Rodney Hood, I mean, oh, Jill Bear, George Hill, great addition. They had a good veterans, good mix of veterans and young players. Haywood is hurt. You know, they had favors hurt, and they still put up a good fight against Portland. That's two starters they lost, and they put up a great fight.
Yeah, so I see, with all that being said, I see them hovering around the 8 spot again.
Yeah, and Portland, Memphis, I mean, you know, Dallas. You know, Dallas is a sleeper. You got Bogut.
Barry and I have gone back and forth on Dallas, and I give them more credit than Barry does. But what is – I like Bogut and Harrison Barnes simply because it's what they didn't have. Yeah. What bothers me is Deron Williams, because Deron Williams has never been the guy willing to step back his offensive game and be a facilitator to get Wes Matthews. Look, their starting lineup, if you just look at it on paper and what they've done in their career, D. Will at the point with Matthews, with Harrison Barnes, with Dirk, and with Bogut. That's a solid five right there, right?
Are they going to allow Dirk to have a walker on the court?
Bottom line is
that Jay's still wet, brother. Yeah. That Jay's still wet. That's one thing he ain't never going to lose. And you always going to have to guard him. They don't leave him. You run a pick and roll with Dirk, you going to get a shot. Because if you leave him, he going to knock the shot down.
38 in NBA years. That's old, though, he takes good care of himself.
That guy, I coached in Dallas for 2 years. He takes great care of himself. Tireless worker. Fantastic human being, good dude, man, and he's all about the game.
And if your Twitter handle is @swish41, you can probably still shoot it. You may not be able to like get it off the dribble, but you can still knock it down.
Yeah, and a 6th all time in NBA scoring, that's pretty impressive, man. That's very impressive.
That's the voice of Mario Elie. He's with us at least until 3 o'clock. If you guys want to get in on the conversation, give us a call. Hit us up on Twitter, 713-780-ESPN. We are here for you until 4. You with the eyes, come on down to the front, stay right here and don't be shy. I have you time traveling, have your mind babbling. ESPN 97.5.
Live from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. infuse energy into your life.
Welcome to the real Clutch City Gang, ESPN 97.5. Mario Elie, my main man, is in the house with me and Barry Laminack until at least 3 o'clock. We are talking basketball. We're talking Rockets. We're talking about anything you want to talk about within reason. We'll reserve the right to be able to take or not take what you have to say, because if you have cowardly keyboard confidence, I've always told you, there's other stations and other options, because we're going to shoot you down. And Rio's been real good about being real honest, just like I have in terms of the Rockets. We were talking before the break about where we see them finishing and where we see the rest of the West. Let's flip page to the East, because it's a conference you know very well, having yes. coached with the Magic last year. Barry and I were talking the other day about surprising teams in the East. Now, Cleveland surprised nobody. They looked really good last night.
You got the best player in the world.
So. Right. And so right. that's a good place to start.
Yeah.
I'm serious at looking at the rest of the East, because a lot of people, including Barry, we were talking about it yesterday, Barry's surprise pick in the East was New York to do something. I like their starting lineup. I was just a little skeptical on their bench. And a team that I really like, and you know for a lot of other reasons too, but what I really like is what Milwaukee's doing with J. Kidd. I like the fact that there's a good mix. We were talking about locker room guys. You bring a guy like the Jet, Jason Terry, in to kind of give those kids a taste. Yeah. But with Parker, with Adetokounmpo, with some of the guys they're putting together there, I like that Milwaukee squad as a team that could take a jump this year.
Yeah, and me playing with Jason Kidd, I know how he thinks. He wants the long, athletic guy. They got like 3 or 4 guys who can handle the ball. They can switch. Good defensively, long transition, get in the passing lane. So you mentioned, boy, coaching against Jabari and Adetokounmpo, boy, them guys were a headache, man. Just very athletic, cover a lot of ground, can shoot, quick first step. These guys can do a multiple of things, but what's going to really hurt him is the loss of Middleton. He's out for a long time. Mm-hmm. He had a great year, great shooter. You know, he's their best shooter. He's 40% three-point shooter. So great move by them by getting Beasley. I thought Beasley played very good for the Rockets.
Yeah, talk about that there. For a second. Were you surprised? I thought he was arguably their third best player in the playoffs last year, and they gave him away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's playing the position we just said is their biggest weakness with the four. I thought Beasley was a guy that looked like he had settled down. He surprised me what he did for the Rockets, surprised me even more that they moved him along.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what was going on there, but I think it was the right move for Milwaukee. I guess, they wanted Decker, see what Decker can do at that 3/4 position, So Beasley was taking those minutes, so they drafted this guy in the first round. They want to see what he can do, but great pickup. I'm with you, Milwaukee. I like Detroit, too. Very well-coached team, very hard-nosed. Tobias Harris, KCP, Jackson, he's out for a little bit, isn't he?
Reggie's out for a little bit. Yeah,
he's out. Drummond, I think he's only going to get better and better. Chicago's going to be tough. They may not have three-point shooting, but they have guys who know how to play, know how to win, who are gritty. And great leadership, with Wade.
I think the depth is an issue. We mentioned it with New York. I think Chicago's another team that I worry about. I had forgotten until I saw last night. Dunleavy's a hell of a nice addition for Cleveland, but that's a big loss for a Bulls team that, again, much like a team like the Rockets, they need shooting. And when you lose a guy that was your designated sniper coming in, that hurts them. I like Chicago's starting lineup. I'm just not sold on their bench.
Yeah, they're going to really expect a lot of Miricic, because I think Taj is going to start off the four, so they're going to expect some big shooting. But a lot of people are not talking about this guy who I really like, Dougie McBuckets. He's getting some more time right now. Yeah, Dougie McDermott, a.k.a. Dougie McBuckets. But he learned from Dunleavy. They sort of play the same way. He's constantly moving. He's constantly moving, looking for a shot. He's a great catch and shoot. He makes good decisions. So they saw his development, so they were ready to move on. I think he's going to be okay. And they added Carter Williams, didn't they?
Williams right now. I was surprised by that, too. Tony Snell, who never panned out. And Michael Carter Williams always gets good grades in terms of wherever he's been, but he just can't stick. Everybody's willing to move him along.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with that. Point guard, two guard, what is he? He's sometimes a point, he's sometimes a two, so he really has no position.
We talked about the West and who's going to finish where and all that. One thing we didn't really talk about was OKC. And before the show, we were talking about MVP candidates and going through the list of, the usuals, right? LeBron James, Steph Curry, Durant on the list. But Mike Westbrook is being mentioned as well. And I said I doubt that he could live up and contend for an MVP. What are you thinking that's going to happen in OKC with Westbrook and the team itself?
Well, he's going to have to depend on his teammates. You know, you're losing 29 points a game, really hard to replace. You know, a bailout guy, that's what Durant is. You know, the guy who created the shot on his own. But I like what they're doing up there. I mean, Victor Oladipo, I had the pleasure to coach last year, is a very talented player. He's a good defender. He's a great, very good athlete. That's probably the most athletic backcourt with them two guys.
Can he shoot?
When he's on, he's on. He's not really a knockdown shooter on a consistent basis, but he can make plays. He plays hard. He plays defense. And he's like I mentioned earlier, he's a good athlete. So you got Cantor, who's going to get some more time, who I think is very talented. The three position, I think, is going to be a big problem for them. Who are they going to have? Robeson. I don't know who else they have.
And Robeson's offensively challenged.
Mm-hmm. Adams. I love Adams. Oh, I love his physical presence down there. So. Well, they're not going to be a slouch.
Do they make the playoffs?
Yes.
Definitely. I think so. Yeah. I said the same thing.
Is that who bounces the Rockets?
Huh?
Is that who bounces the Rockets out of the eighth seed?
I think they're higher than eight.
I think they're a little higher. Yeah? I think they got a little talent there.
Okay. You know, I'm going to go with my partner here a little bit. This is shocking because normally it's the other way around. But we also had this discussion leading in. And I think you're with me on this, but I want your honest opinion. Westbrook, honestly, should he be an MVP candidate? And what kind of season do you expect out of him?
I think he's going to have a great season. I think he's a fantastic player. I love the anger he plays with. That's how you play. And then when you're in between the lines, man, it's war. And that's how I've never seen that from you.
Yeah,
that's what the game is about, competition and intensity, man. There's a lot of guys, you know, trying to prove himself. But I think he's just a fantastic talent, leader, you know, and the guys that go follow his aggressiveness.
I said two things about him. Look at his stats when Durant was out last year. He almost averaged a triple-double, and he went nuts. And here's the other thing. It's like a guy when you can finally take the training wheels off. He's always been Robin to Batman, and most people would be okay with that. He's always kind of had that gritty mentality of, I want to be Batman. Well, now you are. You got the keys to the Batmobile.
Yeah, you are large and
in charge. And I expect he's the kind of guy that's not backing down from that. He's going to soak that up. That's why I think he's going to blow up.
Yeah, and he has to be smart because they need him to be healthy. I'm real concerned about the backup point guard position. That's what my one concern. Payne's injured. He's out. And Ronnie Price
they
got cut
him.
So I don't know who's their backup point. So Russ has got to be smart. Victor really is not a point guard.
Right.
You know, he's more of a 2/3 type player. So it's going to be interesting if Russ ever misses maybe 4 or 5 games, who's going to fill in at that backup point?
Yeah, Cameron Payne, I think, is who they have right now.
Yeah, but he's hurt.
He's hurt.
Foot injury. So
I have a question. This is a little off topic, but, you know, thinking about depth charts and talking about Russell Westbrook and how, you know, that warrior mentality in between. And it got me thinking because we, you know, Joe said that's how you were when you got on the court. And you had that nickname, the Junkyard Dog. Mario, why is everybody trying to come up with a new Junkyard Dog in Houston?
I don't know why they're doing that, man. You got to win some chips first.
That's right.
You got no discredit to Patrick Beverly, man, but he's no Junkyard Dog, man. You know what I mean? And they keep trying to give him that. I'm like, y'all, they need to give something new.
Where did that come from?
And leave that alone.
Yeah, I don't know.
Where did the JYD come from?
I don't know. Somebody just made it up and just the scrappy play, playing hard and, you know, diving on the floor, just competing. I mean, just a privilege to play in the NBA. It was a privilege. It was a hard journey for me. So once I got there, every time I'm on the court, I'm like, I'm going to take advantage. I'm going to let people know that I belong.
Where did the kiss of death come from?
Oh, I know where that is.
I want to know that.
Just me and Joe Klein. It started game 5. We were blowing kisses to each other. And, of course, you know who had the last kiss, uh-huh. The biggest kiss.
Uh-huh.
Kiss and straight to vacation for him and Charles, so that was nice.
I had the privilege of being. I wasn't doing any producing on the TV side, and I was right behind Rudy when that happened, and that was the greatest yes in the history of Rockets basketball.
I was in that
huddle right in front of me, and I'm hearing Rudy call this play, and I'm hearing him line it all up, and you know, make sure you use clock and everything like that. And I saw the ball swing, and Robert Horry got it. And he swung it to Mario, and I looked at the clock, and I'm like, there's still time. And you had no hesitation, locked, loaded, and that vintage kind of lock and loaded, set it up, let it fly. And literally, we were like, no, there's too much clock. And I just remember, it's one of the greatest things I remember. Jim Foley was doing the radio back then, And literally, and I think the call is in Rockets lore, of Mario, my man. He screamed it. and I, Foley would probably kill me if he said. He might not care. But literally, Foley's one of those old school guys. And when he yelled Mario, my man, he yelled it with such passion that like the biggest phlegm bomb came out of his mouth. And it's like a frog. And it landed on the table. And for a split second, we all stopped with bug eyes like, what? And we just went, aspirin.
Yeah,
and it was like, when you came back to the bench, I mean, no one, you, they couldn't get enough of you. And that was huge. Because Danny Ainge was another guy that you wanted to stick it to in that series.
And I'm glad you mentioned that. And this is, as young players out there, you, whether you're part of the offense, you always got to be in tune to the game. And he doubled. And he was guarding me. He went and doubled Kenny in the backcourt. So that's why I spaced out to the corner.
Yep.
Just like he left to help on Horace Grant and Paxson stung him that one time too, Mr. Ainge.
Uh-huh.
And he doubled in the backcourt.
Double team.
Double team. So Kenny made the right play, short pass to Robert. Robert saw me open diagonally, so he threw it to me, went up and got it. And it was Dream down low. And Danny Shays was not leaving Elijah Wan down there, brother. He was hugged to him like a cheap suit down there. So it gave me time to cock and load. And once I let it go, he decided to react. It was too late. It just felt so good. It felt so good.
Did you know right away?
A shooter knows, man. It went on net, brother. It went on net. And then I turned around and looked at Joe Klein. He was like red as an apple. And I just blew him a kiss of death. Here you go, Ray.
Oh, that's so beautiful.
And enjoy your vacation, too.
Cling to us like a cheap suit, just like you got the JYD in studio. Mario Ellie, up until at least 3, right here, ESPN 97.5. And you can
stay up. Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, and hey, just for giggles and the fact to show you guys that we are going to have one hell of a basketball season, my man Mario Ellie decided to do a drive-by and pop into the studio where we could have some real talk about basketball, and that's what we've been doing. So if you guys have any questions, you want to get in on the fun, throw them to us on Twitter or hit us up, 713-780-ESPN. We'll have you into the living room, have you on the show. A couple of you guys on Twitter throwing in some of the questions and asking some things out here, but we wanted to make sure that we get everything covered for you. But they want to know your insight on Orlando. He said, Ike says, can you have your boy Mario to give me his insight on Orlando? I found myself drafting 4 players off their squad this year. Evidently, he's a fantasy basketball player.
Obviously.
But, I mean, look, I would like to say the Magic are a team built a lot like Milwaukee in terms of building on the youth, but I just haven't found the right mix. You know, I think that's why Oladipo, they were willing to trade, because you had some of the guys, and you coached there, so this is just my take on the outside. Seems like you had a lot of similar players, but you couldn't find them to find true definitive roles. Like you said with Oladipo, not a point, not a two, but an athlete.
When you try to go to the playoffs, you can't do it with a young squad. They tried it 2 or 3 years. So we felt, when our coaching staff, we just felt we needed to make a move to get a couple of veterans, and I thought they did an outstanding job by adding some good vets.
Surge.
They got Biombo, who's been having a terrific
preseason.
Fournier, I think, is the lead guy now. Got his contract. Very good player. Need to see more from Hezonja. You know, he's been very inconsistent. So they need more from him, and we're going to see what Alfred Payton going to give him. We know Alfred can penetrate and pass, but can he score? You know, they're going to need him to put some points on the board, so it's going to be interesting. Vucevic, very talented.
Gordon's another guy. Talent is all world, but can he find a spot?
Exactly. I mean, is he a 3? He's a 4. I don't know. So it's a big year for him also. So they have high expectations for that team. It's going to be interesting. I think they're still young. How they going to find consistent offense? You know, who's starting, Biombo or Vucevic? You know, because Biombo was bored. You know,
Vucevic has got some talent,
and he's very skilled also. So it's gonna be interesting. I think they're just still young. They're just still young, and
that's why I say when you say they add a veteran, but Serge Ibaka's very soft spoken veteran.
Yeah.
When you add a Jason Terry, you're adding a guy that's like another assistant coach. He's gonna get in your grill. Yeah. He's gonna tell you how it's supposed to be done. I don't see that in Orlando.
But there's not a lot of those guys left. You know, Garnett, you know, we lost three tremendous leaders.
Mm-hmm.
Kobe, Garnett, and Tim. You know, that's a dying breed. The league is young right now. They mentioned there may be three guys left that played in the 90s but that are playing right now.
You played for the Spurs, and some of our loyal listeners are Spurs fans, which is painful, but I know. But you mentioned...
I know. But what I won
you,
one with them,
yes,
too.
You did. Right. But what you mentioned is something I don't think people realize. Tim Duncan was known as real quiet because of his demeanor in the public. But talk about how good a leader he was behind the scenes.
Fantastic. Just a first and foremost, fantastic human being, mm-hmm. first and foremost. But the work ethic, after a bad game, who's the first guy in the gym with the gun out there working on his shot? Tim. He don't never say it. He show you.
Lead by example.
Yeah,
right?
Lead by example. Jason Kidd type of guy. They go out and do it and show us how it's done. You know, and it was good to hear stories about Tim doing his world tour retirement and so forth. Having young guys say, nah, this is how you jab. He's sort of schooling guys while he's playing against them out there, just showing them the way. That's what kind of person and leader he was, you know. The game's going to miss him.
So we mentioned a little bit earlier when we talked about Mario and Dwight Howard. Dwight's in Atlanta now. They finished fourth in the East. What do you think he adds to the Hawks? I mean, is he going to improve that team? Are they going to be improved?
I think they're going to be very good. You know, Dwight, like I said, he's a double-double. He's going to give you a double-double. He's going to protect the rim. He's back home. He's motivated. He sort of left all his drama behind, so it sort of made it back home. I think Millsap is a very good player. Korver can shoot the ball. Point guard position is a concern for me. Schroeder got the keys to the car. So it's be interesting.
He got what he wanted. Jeff Teague put some pretty good numbers up
there. Yeah, all-star. You know, he lost all-star type point guard. So it's going to be interesting. That's a very important position in the league right now, especially with the spacing and the shooting. Your decision-making in these pick and rolls got to be very sound. I don't know if Schroeder's a knockdown shooter. If I was scouting Atlanta, I'd just go under the screen and have him shoot. So it's going to be interesting if he can knock that shot down consistently.
The big thing that I was going to say about Atlanta and Dwight in particular is it looks like he finally decided to lay off the weights a little bit. He slimmed down a little bit, which will give his back and knees a break. And what I like about him that he didn't have here, he fits with Atlanta because Millsap's a scoring four. So you're going to get a lot more offense out of Millsap and allow him to pick up the rebounds and the garbage, so to speak. But he's not the same player he was in Orlando or even with the Lakers. So it allows him to kind of relax and just freestyle and get what he needs to get on cleanup and putbacks, whereas here he was expected to be a force in the low post, which he wasn't anymore.
Yeah, but you got to get the ball in order to be that. But that's another story for another day.
Oh, it doesn't have to be another day. We're here. Hey.
Did Dwight get a raw deal in Houston? I mean, you know, there was the controversy that followed him from Orlando to L.A. Did he get a raw deal here?
It's business. You know, some guys... You know, it's James' team. Bottom line, James is the alpha dog here. You know, he's the best player on the team. And Dwight just wanted a bigger role. I thought, you know, he could have with them. I was hoping those two work it out because with them two, that was a pretty good tandem.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But they weren't able to work it out. Dwight wasn't able to work it out with Kobe. So it is what it is. Now he's in Atlanta, fresh start. I think, Joe, you made a great point. I think that team fits perfectly with him. You got Millsap who can put it on the floor, mm-hmm. and is a good passer.
Yep.
So Dwight's going to get a lot of dump-offs in there, putbacks, and I think that's going to be a good formula for them.
Michael, you want to join in on the extravaganza with Mario? What do you got for us today? Michael, you there? Michael going once, going twice.
Michael, I'm here.
All right, Michael, go for it. Come on, you just beat the buzzer. Let's go.
Okay, I just wanted to tell Mario Elliott that every time I'm at the park and it's game point and I'm in the corner and I hit the shot, I do the kiss of death. And a couple kids asked me, they were like, why do you do that every time you hit the shot? So I took my tablet, I set them down, and we YouTube Mario Elliott kiss of death. So your shot lives on every time I'm in the corner and it's game point.
I appreciate the love, family. Yeah, that's what's up right there. That's
Michael, thanks for the call, man. Don't be a stranger. That's great. That's what social media. That's the beauty of social media. When people can now reference you through YouTube and tablets.
Right on the spot. Hold on. Boom.
I mean, that's the beauty of social media in a nutshell. We pick on it a little bit around here because of the people that get a little bit too much confidence. But when you can do stuff like that, that's awesome.
That's
you got to go or you want to stick around a little longer. We got a couple questions.
Let's stick around a little bit, yeah. A
couple questions on Twitter we'll get to next, and we'll hear from you. If you want to join us, 713-780-ESPN. We are ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
I assume you knew?
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.